Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. We'll be joined by Steve Geller at 5:45 for our triple option feature. At 5:20, our NFL Odyssey insider Mark Schlereff will join us. Always does a great job covering the NFL, all the coaching moves and front office moves, and also his thoughts on the playoffs. We'll get that from Mark. I saw the article. Chrissy Floyd, who we've had on at twice in the last 3 weeks, and Chrissy does a great job. She covers the Saints for USA Today, also covers the SEC. She had a one-on-one interview with Drew Brees, and Drew made the comment, if he had his choice, it would be Aaron Glenn as the new coach of the Saints. So, you know, everybody's got an opinion, and so she got it from Drew that Aaron Glenn would be the guy that he would go after. And, you know, he was on this team, saw Aaron as a player because he went up against him also as a player, and then saw him as a coach. And, Charlie, I saw he was at a basketball game, and they introduced him. Man, the crowd went crazy. He just kind of waved to the crowd, but they flashed him and his wife's picture up on the big TV screen. And, man, Detroit appreciates what Aaron Glenn brings to the table, because they know he's not playing with the full 11.
Oh, no.
Man, they down 7 starters. They've got 16 guys on injured reserve on the defensive side of the football, and they're still winning.
Given what is missing from the Detroit Lions defense, the performance that they put up with everything to lose on Sunday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings may have been the best coaching job a coordinator's done all season long.
I agree. And with Dan Campbell and his coaching staff, with Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, that was magnificent.
It was incredible. And they had the shot of and Ben Johnson as well, with like the play sheet up to his face, and then on the opposite side was Brian Flores, the DC of the Vikings, and it was like these two masterminds going at it. I mean,
it was like a chess match between the two. Awesome stuff.
It was now, great to see.
It'd be interesting to see, because I do think Aaron will have options, and the Jets are one of the teams.
Yes.
So the Jets are interviewing everybody. They've also asked for permission to interview Darren Rizzi, and I get that. He's a Jersey guy. He's from that area. But man, that list of interview people, what is like 15 guys that they've already
asked
for permission?
They're interviewing everyone under the sun, Mike. And
but Woody Johnson, okay, man, if you win New York, he is number one target that nobody is going to want to come coach the Jets. Now, somebody will. They'll have somebody that they'll get to coach that team. And I think defensively, they are ready. They've got a kind of man-made defense. Offensively, what are you going to do with Aaron Rodgers? And what are you going to do with an offensive line that needs to be rebuilt? And Garrett Wilson has already said, I want to be traded.
So the Jets
and aging Davante Adams.
Yes, the Jets are a weird case, because if Aaron Rodgers moves on, then Davante is also probably moving on.
Yep.
And so, I mean, what do you really do? They have a couple of young pieces, like you mentioned, with Garrett Wilson, also Breece Hall. They have a decent offensive line, and all things considered, like when they were healthy, Olu Fashanu, who we talked about, you know, leading up to last year's draft, he was pretty solid in his rookie campaign when he played. Now, they probably need to bring back Morgan Moses, the right tackle, because just have him as a placeholder for now. The interior is pretty solid. They've got some pieces offensively. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what's going to happen with him, Mike. From the Jets reporters that I've listened to talk about the situation, it feels like he's probably either going to retire or, if not, move on, which just makes the most sense based off of what happened this season.
Bobby said, I'm willing to bet you money he plays again. $50 million.
But would he play for the Jets?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I sort of agree with Hebert. I hear what he's saying, but he's not committing to retirement. He's just saying,
I don't know.
And I think, you know what, he wants to play again. He does not want to leave the way he left the game.
No, I get that. I mean, that was a miserable year for the Jets. So, Mike, I have this from betonline.ag. They sent us, you know, the odds, the betting odds for the next head coaches for the 5 openings, which became 6 today with what happened with Antonio Pierce. But for the Jets, like, all these have, generally speaking, a favorite to land the next head coaching job. Like, for instance, the Bears, they actually have the favorite as Cliff Kingsbury, the OC of Washington, at 2-1 odds. Ben
Johnson.
Because
of the connection to Caleb Williams.
Yeah, for sure.
But to me, I would go all in on Ben Johnson.
Yes.
Because, and I think that would be attractive to Ben, but one negative. man, I know that division. I got to play Minnesota twice, Green Bay twice.
And Detroit.
Detroit twice.
Yeah.
But I've got a good young quarterback. Man, I got some weapons at wide receiver and tight end. Pretty good running back field. You need another edge rusher. I think that on defense, they really could use that. And a little bit of help along the offensive line. Man, I take a look at that young quarterback.
Yeah.
Man, I might have a little bit of say on control. That I think he's their number one target guy. I think it would be Jacksonville. But because Trent Baalke keeps his job, good luck.
So that's what I wanted to bring up as well. Jacksonville, they have as the favorite to win the job, very heavily favored, Liam Cohen, the OC of Tampa Bay.
That makes sense.
The funny thing, yeah, it makes sense to me as well. The funny thing is Ben Johnson's going to be, you know, the most coveted pickup of this offseason coaching cycle, maybe second to Mike Vrabel, but generally speaking, it's going to be one of those two guys is the most coveted head coach for this offseason cycle. The issue with Jacksonville, and Jacksonville otherwise, has a very, you know, interesting roster, the young quarterback that could potentially entice an offensive-minded coach. Ben Johnson would be hypothetically interested in that job.
One
the issue
why.
Is Trent Baalke is coming back. And if you, I mean, going back to what we were talking about with the Giants last hour, Mike, how all the Giants fans are just scratching their head, bringing back Joe Shane, the GM. I mean, Trent Baalke's even worse. What are we doing here?
Look, Trent Baalke, he convinced the York family to side with him instead of Jim Harbaugh. And so that's the main reason why Jim left the 49ers. He did not get along with Trent Baalke. And all of a sudden, he gets a job in Jacksonville. Look all the coaches he's been through.
All the coaches he's been through and all the top picks that he's had. He's had two number one overall picks in his tenure there. And, I mean, they were close to getting the number one overall pick again this year.
Real close.
I mean, how do you keep him?
Man,
it's the guy. And look, Trayvon Walker's been solid in this league, Mike. I don't want to.
But he's not
Aiden Hutchinson.
Upper echelon player.
He's not Aiden Hutchinson. I'm sorry.
No,
Aiden Hutchinson's the player that you can build a defense around. Trayvon Walker is not. So if you're looking at Trent Baalke, Ben Johnson, my entire point with all of this is that Ben Johnson's going to want some control over roster similar to Mike Vrabel wherever he goes. And because they're keeping Trent Baalke there, who's the de facto GM, he's been there for years now. He's not going to have as much control over the roster decisions as Baalke is. And so that's what's really stupid about this entire situation is that maybe Ben Johnson would have gone to Jacksonville. And according to this list, you know, once again, Liam Cohen, the OC of Tampa, is the odds-on favorite. Ben Johnson's number two. I don't think Ben Johnson's going to Jacksonville, Mike, because they're keeping Trent Baalke.
If Trent's there, no.
And so Liam Cohen, though, would be a really solid pickup for the Jaguars. I would like that a lot
Man,
for them.
Think about that. If I told you this 2 years ago, Baker Mayfield has made, you know, Dave Canales and Liam Cohen head coaches in the NFL because of his play.
And Canales had a really good rookie coaching campaign in Carolina.
Down the stretch he did.
Yeah, I mean.
Really good down the stretch.
That's all you wanted to see in Carolina, though, was some kind of development of Bryce Young. And that's
you
what they
see
got.
It. You see it.
And he was playing competent football at the end of the season. In fact, really good football, especially in that game against Atlanta at the end of the year. Last couple other job openings as well, Mike. The Patriots, Mike Vrabel. Obviously, we talked a little bit about that earlier on. It just makes all the sense in the world. He won 3 Super Bowls there as a player. He's got the connection with Bob Kraft. Like, yes, he's probably
going to be. And I got a young quarterback.
Yes, exactly. So it's a roster that needs a lot of work. But Vrabel, if he goes to New England, he's going to have some control and say over, you know, roster building. And,
yeah, because Elliott Wolf is still there.
Yes.
As the GM.
But I think there's respect with Mike Vrabel coming in. So I think that would make sense. The Jets, who knows? I mean, you got Jeff Ulbrich, who was their interim, tied with Vrabel as well. Rex Ryan's up there in the names. And then also Aaron Glenn, Ron Rivera. So the Jets, as you mentioned, they're kind of interviewing everyone under the sun. We have no idea who the Jets are going to eventually hire. And finally, the Saints. And BetOnline.ag has Joe Brady, -300, as the odds-on favorite to be the Saints' next head coach, followed by Kellen Moore, the OC of Philadelphia, Aaron Glenn, the DC of Detroit, Matt Nagy, the OC of Kansas City. Oh, boy. So, yeah, there's a couple names on there. But early on, it feels like things are starting to fall a little bit into place, but there's still, you know, a lot that has to be kind of figured out.
I think
out.
In 2 weeks, you'll figure a lot of those pieces will be in place. Because I think
I agree.
The Mike Vrabel deal, will be the first domino to hit. Of where he goes. And I think the only other spot that would entice him other than New England would be Las Vegas because of his connection to Tom Brady.
Yes.
But he doesn't have a young quarterback there. They would have to trade up to get a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders.
I think that's what they're going to do.
And I think that's what
– because
they
two.
Tried. And I told you the story with Jaden Daniels and meeting up with him in the offseason. I asked him, was it a surprise with the Commanders? And he said, no, not really. He said, I think, though, the Raiders were trying to get me. And he understood that, you know, connection. He had been at Arizona State the same time as Antonio Pierce. And he said, but I don't think they had enough to get to the two spot.
Yeah, but, you know, it's easier to jump from 6-2 than it is from 13-2. So if you're the Raiders, I mean, yes, I think Vrabel would be a nice pickup. But at the same time, the betting favorites, and I agree with them there, Vrabel's probably going to be in New England.
Yeah, you got your young quarterback in place. And I think that is a big part of it. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll be joined by our NFL Odyssey insider, Mark Schlereff, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long, and we're joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Always good to be with you guys.
Mark, I'll throw it right off the bat. The game that intrigues me the most on this wild card weekend is the Commanders and the Buccaneers, because man, we've seen just a great leap from a team that won four games a year ago, and to see what the Commanders have done. Great job by Dan Quinn, but certainly he's helped by the kid himself, Jaden Daniels, and the Bucs. Now, four straight years winning the NFC South, but I look at this game and having watched the Bucs a lot, they're not a team that's a heavy pressure team. Now, they show you a lot and then kind of move in different pieces. That's just the way Todd Bowles is. But that game of all of them, to me, is the most intriguing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think you know, Baker Mayfield is incredible. What he's done so far this year, absolutely unreal. And the fact that you look at that offense that Liam Cohen coordinates, you look at what has happened to them. They have had multiple injuries where they have lost their go-to receiver in Chris Godwin. They have changed out kind of what they do. They lost Mike Evans for a while. So all of a sudden it became an offense that ran through Cade Otton, their tight end, who was exceptional and had an exceptional year. And then this Bucky Irvin's kid, who is just phenomenal. Just a great player. And so they've had to change all that stuff. And one thing about Baker, and this goes back to when Canales was the coordinator there, Canales told me, listen, man, there'll be a quarter or a quarter and a half where he just plays awful. And then all of a sudden, that same game where he's not playing well, it's, you know, rubber meets the road time. It's the end, last drive in the first half, and we got to have it. And he plays his most exceptional football that I've ever watched him play. And he's just got this knack of performing in just the crunch time moments that, you know, blow people away. And so they've got that going on in Tampa Bay, and they're really outstanding as an offense. And then you look at what Washington has been able to do with Jaden Daniels and the resurgence of that football team under Dan Quinn, and how Dan Quinn has got those guys playing hard. And I did a couple of Washington games early in the season, and Dan is just like, hey, we're not where we need to be talent-wise, but, you know, there's some non-negotiables here when you play for me, and that's going to be effort, and that's going to be, you know, those things. And sure enough, man, they have played their butts off, and Jaden Daniels is just a special, as you guys know,
yeah,
a special talent. His ability to extend plays, to run around, you know, to beat you from the pocket, but when things break down, to absolutely eviscerate you with his legs. And I just tell you, they're a lot of fun to watch, and it's really cool to watch a guy like Cliff Kingsbury kind of resurrect his career, get this opportunity to coordinate an offense, and then really understand the value of the run game, the value of the quarterback room, what he needs around his young quarterback. It's really been cool to watch.
What's the buzz in Denver? I know that's your home place, and the Broncos, man, right off the bat, they catch Josh Allen and the Bills. But, you know, everybody's underestimated the Broncos all season long. And the Bills better be ready to strap it on. And I got a lot of respect for Josh Allen and that offense. Really, really do. But, man, Sean Payton, the one thing with him, you better not count him out. I think this is a pretty close game between the Broncos and the Bills.
Well, one, the Broncos playing on house money, right? They were right. supposed to win Correct. 5.5 games, and like that's kind of where they are. Bo Nix is playing great football. And, you know, defensively, man, defensively, they get after you. They create turnovers. They sack the quarterback. They get opportunities. And, you know, they're a heavy pressure team under Vance Joseph. But they're a heavy simulated pressure or zone pressure team where, you know, they're showing you, you know, overload blitzes, but they're bailing other guys out and they're playing some zone behind it. And they just do a really good job of putting pressure on the opponent's quarterback. And I think you're going to see that with Josh Allen. They're going to try to get him the ball out of his hands quickly, you know, try to get him on the ground, see if they can't create a turnover. I mean, he's been great this year, only you know, throwing 6 interceptions, but you know he's got a history of throwing it to a team meeting and making some careless decisions, especially in the red zone. He hasn't done that all season long, so it'll be interesting if they can pressure Josh Allen. But you know, I expect you go back to Sean Payton when he was in the Super Bowl, guys, and you know he opens up the third quarter with that onside kick. I expect a fake punt. I expect fourth down attempts and to go for it. I expect, you know, him to play with that house money mentality, knowing that, hey, listen, our advantage here is our defense is really good. So I think that's one advantage we have. And then our special teams and our returner is really good. So can we take advantage of maybe a weaker Buffalo special teams, lean into our special teams, and play an aggressive style on the defensive side of the ball? And then, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But I guarantee you one thing, man. They're going to come out there, they're going to play hard, and they're going to give Buffalo, they're going to give them a tough game. There's no question in my mind.
Just got to escape the early tsunami, because I think that's what Buffalo wants to do. They want to get you with the tsunami early and then, you know, kind of roll through it. Our Insider Calls with Mark Slareff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie?
Mark, I want to take you back to Sunday Night Football this past week. 2 14-win teams with the top seed in the NFC on the line. And just, you know, the videos that popped up of, you know, Ben Johnson and Brian Flores, the OC of the Lions and the DC of the Vikings, both kind of reading off their play calls like it was a chess match. And it was so cool to see. But Mike and I were talking about this in the first segment here. Aaron Glenn and what he did against that Vikings offense and Kevin O'Connell, who's the favorite to win Coach of the Year, without so many pieces on that Lions defense, the performance that they put up was one of the most impressive I think we've seen all year long. Given the stakes, you know, the top seed, the first round bye against a Viking squad, 14-win team, just what Aaron Glenn and that Lions defense was able to accomplish was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, they pressured the quarterback. A lot of times it simulated the pressure, you know, the walk-up stuff and he was uncomfortable the whole time. Sam Darnold never got comfortable, missed some wide open receivers in the red zone. The other thing is they got out of their game plan. Like, you know, this is a team that went for it on fourth down 10 times the entirety of the season. They went for it 3 times, you know, and especially down in the red zone early in that game. And it's a tight game right up until the point in the third quarter where it's no longer a tight game and Detroit started running away with it. But the bottom line is, like, you got to be true to who you are. The other thing is Aaron Glenn did a really good job of essentially taking them, knowing that Kevin O'Connell loves to run a cannon system, loves to check out of everything, and essentially making him check out all his runs and making him throw it down on the goal line, I thought was brilliant, right? Get out of that stuff and make him throw it. Now all of a sudden we know that, you know, we know you're putting the ball in the air because we've walked up and mugged up linebackers, and we know you're going to check out of this stuff, which, you know, that's part of what Kevin O'Connell loves to do. And you know, it's one of those things that as a former offensive lineman, it drives me crazy because I want to get down to the red zone. I don't care how many guys you have up there. I want to run the football because I always feel like we can get that done. And so that was a big thing. Then having Alex Anzalone back, tying the back end to the front end together, being the play calling, linebacker. And then he was so physically, he was fresh. He was running around, even with that casted up arm. Like he was taking on blocks. He's making tackles. And he did a job on TJ Hockenson one-on-one in coverage. So they were exceptional, man. They were that was big time performance because basically Kevin O'Connell came in there with that offense and said, "Hey, man, you guys are going to hold up in our passing game, like with Justin Jefferson and Addison and TJ Hockenson. We're gonna eviscerate you guys in the passing game." And they were able to hold up. So big time performance by Detroit. Big time game plan by Detroit. And you got to tip your hat to them. They are the number one seed, and I've said this for all season. I thought they were the best football team all season long, and the injuries certainly hurt their defense for a time. But it looks like they're kind of getting their stuff back together.
Mark, I'll throw it this Saints line now with them looking for a new head coach. You see a team with some major salary cap issues. Maybe you got a young quarterback here, but it's not a definitive. You got a lot of holes and a lot of guys that are up in age. But you, as a head coach, you 1 of 32. A lot of people say, well, you know, you're not going to attract anybody here. Okay, that's a short fraternity of 32 guys to be a head coach in the NFL level. You talk to a lot of national people. Your thoughts on the Saints head coaching job?
Well, one, I think that, you know, I think the Saints head coaching job, the Saints, like you said, 1 of 32, I think there's a rebuild process here in that, you know, aging veterans, you're going to have to turn over some of your roster, all those different things that, you know, you always have to face. But I like what a great challenge that is, what a great environment, a great place to play New Orleans is. And so you look at those things and what an unbelievable challenge it is. And all you have to do is look at your former head coach in Sean Payton and what he was able to do in Denver in 2 short years. Going into this season, guys, Vegas had them winning 5.5 games, and every national publication in the national that covers the National Football League had them with a bottom 1 or 2 roster. They had them ranked 30th, 32nd, 31st, somewhere in there. And here they sit 10-7, going to face the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. So in today's NFL, man, it is probably easier than ever to basically revamp your roster and be right there and be competitive. And obviously you have to have the quarterback thing right and all that stuff. But like anything, man, these are all great jobs. There's only 32 of them, and New Orleans, especially in that South, in that division. Come on, you're telling me you can't revamp and be competitive in that division and fighting for a division title when, you know, that division is won by a 9-8 team every year, it seems like.
Mark, I think, and I've told this to Coach Payton, said, Sean, your best coaching job ever wasn't the Super Bowl team. 06. He's got 31 new players on that football team. Okay, you weren't sure about Drew Brees because he was coming off the major shoulder injury. You picked second in the draft, and that team got to the NFC Championship game. They were one game away from playing on Super Bowl Sunday. I always told this to Sean, that's the best coaching job you ever did, because to take a team and almost – totally rebuild it was a major, major task. And how many free agents at this time, this is right after Katrina, are going to say, yeah, I'm going to go to New Orleans. I'm going to go there. Man, I thought, Sean, that was a super job on his part and that coaching staff to get that team to the NFC Championship game. And I think it's his best coaching performance he ever had was in 06. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights.
And my pleasure, guys. Be well, man. Always good to be with you.
Thanks so much. That was Odyssey, NFL insider Mark Slareff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Steve Geller, and we have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line the general manager of the Superdome, Smoothie King, Evan Holmes. Evan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know we got a logistics situation here with parking, and we've gotten a lot of calls on people ask about it. So sort of give people that are attending the Pelicans game a little bit of where to go and kind of when to go.
Sure. Well, good evening, guys. Thanks for having me on and giving us an opportunity to share more of the information. So yeah, we have a situation. We kind of call it an opportunity to make things happen around here. When you event business is kind of what we do. So, you know, what we're experiencing right now are the early stages of the Super Bowl's move-in. Super Bowl, you may say, wow, that game's not until February 9th. But given the magnitude of the event and how much it's evolved, the amount of space it takes on this campus, they started actually yesterday. So we're a month plus of move-in. So what that means is that it impacts other parts of our campus that otherwise is used for parking activations for Pelicans games, concerts, and dome events as well. So where we are right now with Pelicans games is we're in a window to where we have about 10 total games that'll be impacted, 8 of which will happen before the Super Bowl and 2 after. And this week is the first 2 games, tonight and tomorrow. So a lot of this information has gone out directly to Pelicans pass holders. But I'll reiterate it here for those that may not have seen it or not on the pass list, so to speak. So those folks that are premium parkers, and if you're a premium parker, you should know who you are. You typically park in lot 3 and 3A, which is the lot right across the street from the Smoothie King Center. Those folks, instead of parking in lots 3 and 3A, will park in garage 1. Garage 1 is the garage on Poydras Street closest to Benson Tower, and that information went out. For all other pass holders, now these are folks that have pre-purchased, not folks that come and purchase day of game. That's an important distinction. But anyone that is a pass holder that normally parks in the Superdome garages, every one of those pass holders will now be parking in Champions Garage. That's the multi-tiered garage across the parking lot from the Smoothie King Center and adjacent to the Superdome. So in order to get to Champions Garage, the path of travel has been impacted as well. So you have kind of a dual impact here, right? You've got changes to where you're parking, but also how you get to your new location. So if you're parking in Champions Garage, which is the bulk of our pass holders, they will come down Girard Street from Loyola, not off I-10, not from Poydras Street around the Superdome. There's several ways to get to Champions Garage. It's really one way in, which, given limitations on the campus, is kind of a reality of where we are. But I think we've got a very good plan to make that a pretty straightforward and seamless process, so much so that we're kind of seeing folks coming in now and we're feeling like we're in a good place. But those folks coming to Champions Garage, again, pass holders only, will come down Girard Street where we have messaging along the way. We call it breadcrumbing, where you kind of start the messaging further out where you're not coming up on it and you're having to make a quick decision based on information right in front of you. You'll come down Girard, parking garage, Champions Garage, and you'll be on your way. Now, those folks that typically or may come to one game or typically come and buy a parking pass in one of our garages for a I'll call it a normal Pelicans game, a non-Super Bowl period Pelicans game, if there is such a thing, those garages are not available. And so the information that was sent out and we shared in collaboration with our partners at the Pelicans, pointing them towards third-party lots, and ParkWiz, PARKWHIZ is the partner we use. They have a number of lots that are really on the other side of Loyola that are available. We'd also encourage folks to take advantage of our new rideshare location, one that we stood up for Taylor Swift and we've used for other events. So Saints games, Sugar Bowls, concerts, even Pelicans games. That location is at Duncan Plaza. It's a dedicated drop-off and pickup. And basically, you get dropped off at Duncan Plaza. You walk down LaSalle Street. We have Champion Square all lit up and activated. Walk down LaSalle Street, and it dumps you right there at the front door of the Smoothie King Center. So, again, modified, but we think it's a plan that is going to work. We feel really good about it. We've worked closely not only with the Pelicans, but our partners at NOPD and our partners at the NFL who are here and vendors are setting up to make sure everyone has, you know, a clear path to travel. You know, they're not walking through a construction zone, and the messaging is where it needs to be to make it clear, in addition to kind of the direct messaging that's gone out either to pass holders or through other channels like social media and media releases.
Evan, I think one of the things that's great about our community, it's all kind of like in one spot. But when Super Bowls or events like this happen, there are going to be some challenges to it. And so, you know, if you in Miami and you got to drive a half an hour away, okay, that's different. But it is an advantage that everything is in walking distance from the Super Bowl time that you can go to your hotel or eating places, that sort of thing. But the negative is you got to build up the infrastructure around it to help in that process.
That's it. It's exactly that. It's, you know, the planners have a harder time, but I'll tell you who enjoys it. It's the sponsors, it's the guests, it's the fans. They like to come because they can stay in the French Quarter. They walk outside, grab a drink along the way. The weather's typically pretty nice, this week notwithstanding, and they can walk to the building, enjoy the game, and walk right back and look at other markets. They don't have that benefit. So I think it's a good problem to have. I would even call it a problem. I'd say this is just a product of having the opportunity to host a Super Bowl, and we've got a great plan, we've got great partners, and we're looking forward to executing this for the 10 Pelicans games and beyond.
Evan, I had a guy I worked with for years. He would say, it's a situation. It's not a problem. So the situation. Evan, thanks so much for helping clear all that up for us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everyone.
All righty. We'll be back to finish it off here on hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Steve, tell us what's happening in the 6 o'clock time frame. Now, we're going to be on 105.3 if you want to continue listening to Sports Talk, and then it'll be Pelicans here on WWL.
We're going to get into plenty of Pels Talk next hour. We're going to hear from head coach Willie Green, who spoke before the game tonight. Also, DeJounte Murray at shoot-around today. Plus, let's talk to Ali Cosell, the Pels writer. We know we love him so much, all his great work, and just find out the latest with any trade
Zion
rumors and what's going
too
on with the return of Zion, like you said.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870, but we'll be on 105.3 Pelicans, Minnesota Timberwolves, right here on the Big 870 WWL.